About 12 years ago, I signed up to run a race in Las Vegas. And it was the first time it was ever held. And this is from that Vegas race, not the one I ran, but a more recent one. But you start down on this side, go like 3 miles, turn around, come down the other side, and we ran 13 miles that time. And it has some fond memories for it. So when I put together the sermon, I thought of that race and found this picture. And then I was thinking about this. Have you ever tried to put yourself back in time to the early days of the church and tried to imagine what life was like? 20 centuries ago, among the early Christians, you heard Christ preached. You believed, you obeyed, you were baptized, you gave up living according to the old law, and you embraced the law of Christ. And you gave up some practices and beliefs, and you adopted new ones, and you found joy, peace, and love in Jesus. And then you learned one day, the world hates me for this. You become part of a religious body that is persecuted and in danger of even being killed for it. And you may even have known someone who was put to death. And so there is a need for somebody to teach you about running the Christian race. And we'll look at these points in our study this afternoon. There is a race. We are participants. It involves competition. We're told to run with patience and to run with endurance. And we're told to run to win because we can all win. Before we go any further in this study, we want to approach God in prayer. We'll ask you to humble yourself in some way as together we pray. There's a great day coming will be the invitation song. As we get started with this sermon, I want to make a comment. I'm looking forward to dying. I'm not really. I just wanted to beat Bob Johnson's record. I was pretty quick. As we look at this, the running the Christian race, I have up there, first of all, there is a race. Now, if you ask the average person in this world about the Christian race, well, they're liable to think that you're making some kind of racist remark the way things are today, completely unaware that the Bible describes the life as a race. But we know better, don't we? Because we've looked into the scriptures. And the reason it does that is because living the Christian life has some commonalities to running a physical race. There are some similarities there. And the church at Corinth seemed oblivious to this. So they were told there is a race, more or less. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Well, we know how it goes. You've been to races before, whether it was a foot race, a car race, a horse race, maybe someone swimming in competition. People compete. Whoever finishes first, they win the race and they get some type of prize. But the Christian race is different in some ways. For one thing, we don't compete against each other, although there is competition, as we'll notice. And he's telling the Corinthians, don't you know there's a spiritual race taking place? Every Christian is involved. And the prize is offered for finishing. And there are race rules to abide by, but everybody can win. A fellow I knew years ago, he used to run cross country. And I asked him one time, what's that like? And he said, well, that's interesting. You start out and you have this mass of humanity, shoulder to shoulder, from side to side. You have a lot of onlookers who are watching. And you take off running and you got this big wide open space. And everybody's on their good behavior. And then you go up a hill, then you go over the hill, and things change. The trail narrows, and people start elbowing, pushing, shoving, vying for position, and so forth. And it can get pretty nasty. It can get pretty ruthless, in fact, as people jockey for position. It can be a war zone, he said. Well, does that remind you of living the Christian life in this world? A war zone? Well, 1 Peter 2 and verse 11 says this, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." There is a war going on. Sometimes it is a war. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 tells us, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." So it's called a fight. It's called a war. But definitely there is a race. And whether we want this or not, we are participants in the race. Hebrews 12 and 1 reminds us, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Can you imagine? You're getting ready to compete in a foot race, and as you walk up to the starting line, someone hands you a backpack full of lead, and you put it on, and you get ready to start the race. And then onlookers would say, "What are you doing?" "Oh, nothing. I just wanted it to be more challenging. I thought I'd weigh myself down." Well, that doesn't make sense. You don't weigh yourself down to run the race. And the scriptures tell us, "Lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares you. Run with endurance the race before you." Let us run the race. And there's more to it than just running, isn't there? There's preparation. You have to give some thought to what you're doing. Lay aside things that are going to slow you down and stop you from running. Sinful snares, he calls them, that can trap you. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If you decide to run a race, the more you train, the more you prepare, the better you do. Our son-in-law lost 95 pounds. And he ran a race yesterday and did the best he's ever done. It took a lot of effort, running almost every day for a couple of years to reach that point. He trained a lot, and the more he trained, the better he evidently has done. And that tells us that in living the Christian life, we need to give thought as to how to get it done. Make time for worship. Plan ahead. Have a prayer schedule in your personal life. Have some goals for your spiritual study and growth. Put things on your spiritual calendar just like you do your physical calendar. You got one at home, maybe. A physical calendar. You got a monthly calendar. You write things on it. Here's an appointment for this day. Here's something I need to do on this day. You ever thought about having a spiritual calendar? Maybe it's just mental. But have something in mind for spiritual growth or spiritual study or a prayer schedule. This is not a race, the Christian race, that's optional. You can't say, "I'm going to sit this one out. I signed up for a race a couple months ago and had a conflict and had to sit it out. I didn't go." Well, I can't do that with the Christian race. We can't skip it. God has set it before us. We entered the race when we became members of the Lord's church, and we're all participants. And you know, as we get older, we typically don't move around very well. We can still move, but you can tell by people's movements that something is not the same. Maybe there's a little pain involved with moving certain ways. But we're still a spiritual runner, aren't we? We may have trouble getting around physically, but we're still running the Christian race. I may be in a wheelchair, but I'm still running a Christian race. And we have a spiritual uniform, according to Ephesians 6, verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Forever ago, when I played high school football, we would gather in the locker room, the field house, we called it. And when you first get there, you stand around talking to all your teammates, until the coach showed up and he walked in, and in a loud voice he would yell at us, "Suit up!" Well, the apostle was telling us here Suit up. Put on the whole armor of God. Get suited up. And get ready. Because you've got a race to run. We participate and we plan ahead. Competition, as we noticed earlier, is involved when we listed the things we want to talk about. And we see it all the time in the world, don't we? People are competitive. Some people are super competitive. But people seem to be competitive even to the point of getting involved in living an evil life. Have you ever known somebody who was competitive about doing things that were wrong to do? And they were determined to do things that were not right? Some people compete to do things that are wrong. They run to evil, you could say. Look at Proverbs 1:16. For the feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood, he says. If competition is involved in doing evil, well, it stands to reason. Competition is involved for our souls because we want to do good, doesn't it? Doesn't it make sense? James 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, the very fact that expression is used there, saving your souls, that tells us right there that competition is involved because we have souls to be saved. Effort is required to save our souls. And he says, receive the word with meekness to win the competition for your souls. And this is something that we share with others. We encourage other people to look into saving their souls. In James 5, verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So we help each other to run the race. It's not like a foot race where people are elbowing and trying to vie for position. We help each other along. We're not competing against each other, you see. We compete against the devil, against the world, against sin. And we help each other to win the battle for their souls. And at the same time, well, we need to remember to help save ourselves. Acts 2 and verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward, he calls it, generation. Have you ever looked at what goes on in the world? Maybe you're watching the news some evening and you just find yourself disgusted and in disbelief. And you tell yourself, I need to save myself from all that I see there on the news. Things out there are competing for my soul. And no one needs to tell us who our competition is. We know from 1 Peter 5 and 8, the devil is heavily involved in competing for our soul. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. A lion roars when he's hungry. And he says, that's how the devil is. He's looking to devour anyone he possibly can. Well, we're encouraged also to run with patience. When I played baseball, I have a lot more fond memories playing baseball than I do any other sport. But I loved to hit the ball. Oh, I could not wait for the next game. I would go out in the alley behind our house. I'd get me an old broomstick, a broom handle. I'd throw up rocks and I'd hit rocks and I'd practice my swing. I just loved to hit the ball. I was so eager. But I had to learn to be patient. I had to learn to wait on the pitch. I'd get to the game. I was so eager, I'd swing too soon. And if I did hit it, I'd pull it out to the left field, or I'd pull it foul. or down the left field line. I had to learn to be patient and wait on the pitch. Well, Isaiah 40 verse 31 tells us, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You've heard that read before. You may have sang a song with those words before. I have. But isn't it true, as we run this race, as we live the Christian life, one thing we're doing is we're waiting on the Lord. We know He's coming again. So if we know He's coming back, then we're naturally just waiting on Him. And we're told to run in the meantime, to not be weary, to faint not, and that requires patience. Don't be weary. Faint not. Keep running. The Lord's coming again. Patience is necessary. Luke 21, verse 19. By your patience, possess your souls. You know, we sometimes think that patience, it allows us to keep ourselves under control physically. And it does that to a point. It allows us to keep ourselves in line to getting things done in life. But this applies to our spiritual side of life as well. Because he says, in patience, be in possession of your souls. It helps you not to lose your soul, in other words. What else can we learn about patience? Well, in James 1 verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Have you ever told somebody else, you complete me? Maybe you've heard somebody else say that to another person. You complete me. Well, the inspired writer is saying, when it comes to our spiritual lives, patience completes us. By patience, possess your souls, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Spiritually speaking, patience completes us. So it's a big part of the Christian race, running with patience. Run with endurance as well. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Another verse in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We need endurance to get to heaven, is what that amounts to. You know, I'm sure it's been said multiple times by multiple men from this pulpit right here. The Christian life is not a sprint. You know, a sprint doesn't last very long. People run as hard as they can for a short time and then it's over. That's not how the Christian race is. It's not a sprint. It's a long-distance endurance race. Doesn't it help you to remember that? Because when something bad happens in your life, and it happens quickly or unexpectedly, what do we naturally want to do? We want to respond immediately and fix the problem. We want to respond right away, as soon as we can, quickly. But the best thing is to wait, to remain calm, to keep your composure, and just see how things work out. The older you get, the more you learn that. That something bad may happen in our lives, but it's going to work out. It just takes some time, and we have to be patient. We have to wait and see how things go. We need endurance, in other words, because with time, things do work out. And we have need of endurance to get to heaven. Oh, yeah. Doesn't it mean a lot to you to have people in your life who have displayed endurance in life? It means a lot to me. Something bad happens. People around you are panicking. And you got these stable, calm people who are telling everybody, just take it easy, take a step back, take a deep breath, let's give us some time, see how things work out. We need endurance in our lives to get to heaven, to receive the promise. Finally, as we run the Christian race, we run to win. We're in it to win it. That's what we can say about our place in the Christian race. We're in it to win it. You know, when you watch a physical race, whether it's long distance or a sprint, it doesn't matter, there is one winner. Whoever crosses the line first, if they follow the rules, they're the winner. And when we talk about the Christian race, however, we can all win. And we'll return to a verse we looked at already, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Talking about the prize. We run to win, which also means we run by the rules. You can't go out and run a physical race and cut across and cheat and expect to be declared the winner. There's rules in living the Christian life as well. And we follow the rules. 2 Corinthians or Timothy 4, verse 7. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You may have heard somebody say that when I'm done in this life, I want to be able to say those same words. I fought the good fight. I finished my race, and I stayed faithful. About 3 weeks ago, I got a message that my high school baseball coach was dying of cancer. And he had asked for me. He was 86. I was in Sweetwater anyway for something else, and I went by his house to see him. His wife and his son were there. They were glad I was there. And I sat down with him. And I pulled out of my pocket a baseball. The last game he ever coached, we were in Waco for the state tournament. It was the last time that I ever batted during an 11-year career. And I hit one out of the park. It gave us the lead, and the other team got the bat, and they scored enough runs to win the game from us. I was on deck to bat again when our last out was made. So that was the last time I got the bat, and the tournament director presented me the ball. And so I showed this ball to that coach. I said, do you remember this? He said, yeah, I was coaching third base when you hit that one out 47 years ago. I'm glad you still have it. And we sat down and we talked about memories. And he told me, he said, you know, I'm done. I'm done. He had been the president of some kind of farmers association. He met every president of the country in person since LBJ. He got invited to the White House every year in his position. And he was legendary in the small town of Sweetwater. But he was telling me, I'm done now. And I finished the race. And you know, I think when we finished our race, we're just about done, we'll know. We'll know when we're just about there. But we want to be able to say what Paul said. I fought a good fight. I finished this thing. I kept the faith. I hung in there. Finish strong, run to win, follow the rules, and finish the race. Be faithful to the end. So as we summarize now, there is such a thing as a Christian race. We are participants in it. It does involve competition, not with each other, but with a common adversary that we have, the devil. We compete against things in the world, against sin. We run with patience because we need patience to get to heaven. We run with endurance because it's an endurance race. It's not a sprint. And we run to win because we can all win. It's not like a foot race that you watch on TV where you got one winner. We all win. We can all win. I saw a picture of a fellow who was out for a run. He's running along, and there was a caption underneath it. It said, "Don't let your excuses catch up and stop you from running." And I thought, that's good. I'm going to throw that in when I talk on this sermon. Don't let your excuses catch up. Stay ahead of your excuses as you run the Christian race. Well, that concludes our study. We'll offer the invitation song, as we always do. If anyone needs to respond to it, we encourage you to do so. And we'll ask you to stand as together we sing.